the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM WMDX. And you are listening to the hostess with the mostest, Brandi Grayson, and
your favorite cousin, Clyde.
All right, now we are back in the house this Saturday morning. We are so excited to be with you. We have so many updates, so much tea. Yes. There's so much happening in the world.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
But go ahead.
And we're going to kick it off with a recap from the 2024 Harvest Fest.
Yeah.
Hosted by Urban Triage.
The hostess with the most.
So tell us what we wanted to expect, and then I can tell y'all how it went down.
Okay, for our listeners who are unfamiliar with the Harvest Fest, Urban Triage, a nonprofit organization out of Madison, Wisconsin, serving the Dane County area, founded and ran by me, Brandi Grayson. So this year we hosted our third annual Harvest Fest located at our farm, which is located at the Farley Center Social Justice, which is a large farm. And the Farley Center is a nonprofit organization. And it's like they provide incubator service really for farmers and businesses who do agriculture, and Urban Triage is one of them. So every year we host our Harvest Fest and celebrating sustainability, Black urban agriculture and community. So every year we host this, we have all kind of different attractions, stations, activities, airless jugglers, magic dude didn't show up.
Yeah, they probably got lost. I think they got lost.
He didn't show up. Yeah. But everybody else showed up. So shout out to everybody that showed up. We had Cigarette Break Band from Milwaukee.
Yeah.
We had food. We had so much food. We had so much beer, wine.
Yeah.
It was a really good time. And the purpose of really, and our goal of our celebration and our Harvest Fest is to create and provide space for Black people, Black children, and Black elders to have Black joy, to have community and feel safe and not to be policed or to have stigma or not to feel like they can't afford anything, right?
Yeah.
You go to festivals, you show them money, you can't get this, you have to choose. So everything at our Harvest Fest is free, from the cotton candy to the popcorn,
to the food, to the wine, and the
full course meal. Ain't no snacks, ain't no hot dogs. It felt like Thanksgiving to me.
Yeah, it did.
We had greens, macaroni and cheese, beans, rice, green beans and potatoes, baked chicken, barbecue chicken. What else we had?
Sweet potatoes.
Cabbage. Yams, we had everything. Peach cobbler, we had everything.
Ribs, chicken.
It was
all
ridiculous.
Peach cobbler.
Yes,
I don't know if you had that.
I didn't get none, but it's all good.
Yeah. So just to recap, like you said, the purpose of the event is to just give us a safe space.
Yeah.
And what I really loved about it, I think the scenery itself. So this was my first year going.
Went to the farm.
Yes. So I pulled up and me and my friends were joking, like, this is Jeepers Creepers. Like, I don't know what to expect.
You know, Black people on the farm, you know.
Yes, but you know, and so what I was greeted right away, you know, Urban Triage always have like full staff and volunteers. Mm-hmm. So we had like the parking people was like, go this way, park over here. Yep. So we parking in the grass. There's no parking lot. And I'm just like, okay, I don't know what to expect. But when you get over the hill and you just experience the entire event, it's like refreshing almost. It's a different scenery.
Yep.
It felt really good. I was like, I felt like a kid, like when I was walking.
Yay.
I'm like, oh my God, y'all, this is so cool. Bubbles in the air, so colorful, bouncy houses, tents. And then the beautiful thing about it is just being in culture, right?
Yep.
Just being around your folks in a different atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
We did like this really cool march at the beginning to bless the land and to be out in such a huge farm area to see Brandi and her team out there in boots and all that. Like, they actually been out here digging dirt, planting stuff, and the stuff is actually growing, right?
You're listening to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM. We're just recapping our third annual Harvest Fest by Urban Triage, held at our farm.
Mm-hmm.
And our cousin Clyde was just giving his take on the experience.
Yes, and I loved it. One of the cool things that I got to actually do hands-on was make a caramel apple, right? Like, you usually buy the caramel apple from the stores, but when you make it and you stir it and let it dry, oh my God, it was so good. And then your people was like, these are apples that grew here, right?
Yeah. No, like, those apples were donated.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They were donated, yeah. But they were like, not organic, but yeah. They just were just fresh
they
apples.
They were good as hell, wasn't it?
I had a really good time.
Oh, thank you. I'm so glad you had a good time. And we had a lot of new folks that it was their first time attending our Harvest Fest, and they were very impressed.
Oh, my God. It was beautiful.
I tell people all the time, when we do events, we do it. We don't hold back, and we're very well organized. Yes. And very well structured. And shout out to, I'm about to mess up their name, Malari Brothers. They're the ones that do the parking lot for us and help us break down. So we hire out the folks that make sure they control traffic,
because
that's really important. And shout out to all of our volunteers. We had a slew of new volunteers and more Black volunteers. And I was so happy. It's so touched, because I love when we show up for us to support us. So shout out to all of our new volunteers. Y'all will be receiving something in the mail, just a thank you. Because we really do appreciate you. Shout out to UW Health and Shiva Badar. They were our only sponsor of our event this year. So shout out to you for sponsoring our event, as always. We appreciate you guys so much for supporting the work of Urban Triage.
Yes.
Check us out next year. We'll start planning again for next year. This is our annual festival. Again, everything was free. The kids had so much good times. Our
they
elders.
Did.
Oh, my God, y'all.
I love how you actually had different areas for different age groups. Yes, like, it really shows we thought about you guys.
Yep.
We didn't leave you out. Like, literally, they had golf carts for the elders to travel throughout these acres of land, right? It wasn't just walk and figure it out. Yep. It was like, nope, elders, get on the cart and we're going to
take you over
down.
So you can experience the whole thing. And then we had staff and volunteers assigned to our elders. So they did all the running for the beer, the wine, and the food. And I'm going to tell you, they did not leave the dance floor, okay?
They did it. They did not. Shout out DJ Payne 1.
Yeah, shout out to DJ Payne 1. It was a really good time. So again, big ups to the Urban Triage Squad. Thank you guys for making that happen. It was spectacular. Mm-hmm. And we're not just saying it because it's us, but it was really spectacular.
It really was. Y'all know I would tell y'all if.
Right, because he's a hater.
I'm like, next time you need to do this. Y'all, listen, I had a bomb time. I also got to walk down to the garden and look at you guys'
hemp plants.
Yes.
They look good, don't they? We're about to start harvesting them.
Y'all, these hemp plants were literally like the size of people. I was like, wait a minute, y'all grew this. And two of my friends are
in the class.
A couple people I know are in the class.
Yep.
And they were like, this is my plant. Oh, baby, I smelled it. I do not do drugs.
First of all, hemp is not drugs. It is CBD.
Thank you.
Okay?
Thank you. I do not do CBD, but it smells so good. It smells so good. And I was
we try to have the good seeds and plants, you know?
I was like, oh, this smells like real weed. And they kept saying, this is real CBD. I'm sorry. I don't want us to have
to
edit this.
It's the same plant. It's okay.
It was really, really good. So good job on that, sis. Because
thank you.
You're putting us in a space that once in a larger scale took a lot of people away from our communities, right?
Yep,
you could have a little bag of weed back in the 90s when they had this huge war on drug bill go out.
Yep.
And now to see that Black folks who probably have lost their fathers, their mothers to this crime.
System,
are actually going to be harvesting
this. We get to harvest the plants next week. Wait, is it this week or next week? We will start harvesting the plants.
I think next week. They got to do some presentations.
Oh, yeah, they do.
And
they have
all
to do their business presentation.
Yeah, and I was talking to my friend, and I'm like, okay, what do y'all do next? And she's like, I'm going to go into, like, cosmetics and do some CBD oils. I was like, I want to take this class.
I'm signing up next year. So you're listening to the Black Convergence Show again on 92.7 FM with your girl Brandy Grayson, hostess with the mostest.
And your favorite cousin, Clyde.
Yeah, so we're just recapping our Harvest Fest for Urban Triage.
The 2024 Harvest Festival, baby.
And our Supporting Healthy Black Agriculture programming, which also includes our specialty crop work group, which is the hemp.
Okay.
And in that work group, we teach Black folks, and anybody can sign up for it, but we always center the needs of people known as Black, because we are unapologetically Black focused, Black centered, Black needs, Black everything, and we serve everybody. However, this program is designed to support Black entrepreneurs who would like to go into the field of hemp or CBD, and we help them connect with manufacturers. Mm-hmm. They have to present like a business plan and do like a presentation, and they learn how to grow the hemp, harvest the hemp, and take the hemp to processing, and how to use it in their product. product, whatever that product will be eventually. And then once they complete their presentation and all the assignments that they have, then they will earn $2,500 seed grant to go towards their business. And then in class, they earn $50 a week just for showing up for gas and stipends. So we do our best to take care of our people. Urban Triage is founded and grounded on transformational education. Education is the bedrock of what we do. And then, of course, we provide direct servicing, housing, rental assistance, which is not, you know, no longer available. But I'm going to talk to you guys a little bit.
It's going to come back, though.
Well, hopefully we get funding. But there's been a lot of hater raid, especially from Cap Times. Ooh. So shout out to you, Cap Times, for hating on one of the small Black organizations in Dane County. And we're one of the only people that do what we do, from agriculture to transform education, personal development, for giving out free produce, to all the work that we do. And to have a newspaper try to frame us in a negative way without any, like, it didn't have like any meat or potatoes, but it was like the tone of it.
Yeah.
And the white lady who did the interview, who called me, she took my words and framed it in a way that I'm like, okay, white lady, okay, Becky, Karen, I see you caring.
So this was actually an interview done with you.
Yeah, so
but
she called me on the phone
the
and she asked me, like, what was up with the, you know, how did you guys run out of money? And I said, well, we ran out of money because there's limited money and the need is really high. So we were allocated $300,000 from Dane County Human Services for security deposits and rental assistance for people who live on the streets, live in their car. You had to be homeless defined by HUD, but the need was so great that we spent about $100,000 a month. And that wasn't even the level of applications we got. We got like $150,000, $200,000 a month. Some of them was fraud. Some of them didn't meet the eligibility requirements. So it's a process to go through the applications. But the framing of the article was like, we did something wrong by running out of money, right? And then there was this other lady from Porchlight that gave a comment about our program and saying that we should have stretched the money for the whole year. We don't get to stretch $300,000 for the whole year because of the demand. The demand really is about a $2 or $3 million demand a year. So of course
More
we're going
that.
To run out of money. And not only did we run out of money, we overspent by $100,000, which means that we gave out more money than we could get reimbursed for. And that money will be compensated through our Roots and Wings grant that they give to us to support all of our housing initiatives.
We're good
on that. And I'll tell you where we messed up in this program and in our communication.
You did not mess up.
We did. There's always accountability, but I'll talk about that in a second. You guys, again, you're tuned into the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM. We're just recapping our Harvest Fest and the roles
and
the program.
The Cap Times is doing.
Yeah, the cap and the white people investigation. Y'all just be some haterade. Y'all didn't show up at the Urban Harvest Fest. You didn't show up for all the positive work we do, and that's how we know you on some bull crap, and that's why we can't trust all media outlets.
Yeah.
But anyway, you're listening to the fake news, okay, I can't say that.
You're listening to
the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM WMDX. Stay tuned to Cousin.
Your favorite Cousin Clyde.
And your hostess with the mostest, Brandi Grayson. We'll be back in a sec.
Let love shine, let shine, let shine. Let love shine, let shine.
The Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM with your hostess with the mostest, Brandi Grayson, and
your favorite Cousin Clyde.
Yes, indeed. We're missing April Kagea today, sending lots of love out. Mm-hmm. You know, she's also one of our co-hosts, our regulars. Mm-hmm. It's not the same without you, baby. So I'm just going to send you lots of love and light and all this heart. I wish I was a Care Bear and I could just send out the hearts like boop, 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 boop. One day I might be magical like that. Who knows?
You are already magical.
Thank
girl.
You, Cousin Clyde. You always feeling my
I
see
your magic. No, I swear, I'm not just filling your head up. I seen your magic at Harvest Fest. It's always good to see people outside of their element.
Yeah.
Inside their element.
Yeah.
And it was just like, this sister is a gardener. She's a farmer.
Okay, I'm not a farmer. My people be farming, okay?
But you are the one that is leading that vision.
Yeah.
You are the one that literally had to sit in your dreams and bring it to life, and folks followed that. And that's magical all by yourself. Seriously. Like, a lot of people don't equip that. I don't equip that. Yeah. Folks I know don't equip that, but you're doing that.
Thank you for that.
Big ups to the organizing. Big ups for the vision and giving it to us, right?
Yeah.
Some people, I probably would have, like, seen that and been, like, scared to be like, let's go to a farm,
yeah,
Black folks.
Let's
like, like, do this. But you did it.
Yeah.
It was hundreds of people there.
Yeah, like, we had about 1,500 people come through. It was really nice. It was really nice. So you guys, we were just recapping prior to the break, our Harvest Fest. And then we were talking about the work of Urban Triage, which is the one of the things we do is our annual event celebrating urban agriculture and the work that we do with Black entrepreneurs and Black families. We teach people how to farm. We build garden boxes around Dane County. We have a garden at the Capitol with partnership with Roots and other agencies.
Nice.
So we are really into this agriculture thing, trying to get Black people back into the land. It is really healing. It's part of our trauma recovery work that we desire to do with families and economic empowerment, right? We want to teach people how to get be part of this hemp and CBD stuff that's going on. And also that led us into the conversation around the housing work that Urban Triage does and how Cap Times did this horrible, horrible article and how they focused on the assets of Urban Triage and how much I make. Mm-hmm. I do make really good money, right? And as I should. But I think that's the problem with white people and other people that they want to move from looking at, hey, they ran out of money to making Urban Triage the problem for running out of money. Not that the fact that we wasn't allocated a lot of money and that the money that city and county budgets they create do not include money for housing stability, for rental assistance, and for the needs of our community. They talk the talk, but they rather put $200-300 million in building a jail and not to support the people so that they don't have to go to jail. We have to really get back to this idea of building people and not jails. And that's what Urban Triage, we really work hard to do just that. And we employ the people we serve, which also causes issues within our, not issues, but just additional challenges because we hire people that go to jail. We hire people with criminal records. We hire people that nobody else is going to hire. We hire people that need a little bit more self-development, professional development, and we do that because that is what we aim to do.
Going the extra mile.
Empower and inspiring our people to transformation, which, you know, it's an extra layer of work that we have to do. Mm-hmm. So if you have a question about what we do, come see us, come visit us, come be part of the work because it really is transformational. It really is powerful. But back to Cap Times, this idea that we did something wrong because we ran out of money. We overspent that contract by $100,000, which means that we served an additional 100 people or more, not based on our contract with the county, but based on funding that we have that's unrestricted, meaning that we... Roots and Wings gives us about $200,000 a year to spend how we would like.
Good.
And we choose to spend a portion of that money on giving back to our people. And that's where that $100,000 came for that was overspent. But Capital Times made it sound like we did something wrong. But I do want to be in integrity with our community and with our process. What we didn't do the best in was communicating outward when we were running out of money. Because we did abruptly stop. Like, oh, shoot, we ran out of money. And it is because we transitioned over to a new accounting system and we hadn't caught up with invoicing or expensing or classifying our expenses. So when you transition into a new database, it takes a lot of time to get all the data over. So we were like a month or two behind in our reporting. So that's why we was like, oh my God, once the reporting got updated and we got caught up and with our expensing and our classifications, we were like, oh shoot,
the money's gone.
So then immediately we contacted the county. We sent the notification to the community. We start communicating outward. And then the people we have already given promissory notes to, people that we're like, we're going to pay it, we paid, right? And we will pay and are going to pay. And the people that were not approved yet or didn't get reviewed, their applications, of course, were rejected because there's no more money. So we could have did better in that aspect. Mm-hmm. But the way that Capital Times framed us, that article, you could go to H-E-L-L, okay?
Yeah.
And all your Beckiness and all your Karenness that showed up in that framing of that article. But now we're going
to
move on because
but
that's
to
enough.
Say that is to know that I'm not in that work how you guys are in that work, but I do know that that is what happens right when you get any type of funding, but also to know that our city budget or wherever
county
these
budget,
funds are coming from
budget,
is about 10 years behind because it is 2024 and a one bedroom is at least $1,000 to $1,500 and to give you $300,000 to serve a population of this size is crazy.
And
so,
and let's just acknowledge Dane County because Dane County is one of our best partners.
Mm-hmm.
They are an amazing partner. Out of all the municipalities and government agencies we work with and for, Dane County is the best. They're always transparent. They're always working with us. They always advocate for us. We can have transparent conversations with our contract holders and the people that manage our contract.
Good.
And I just love them for that. And I can't say that for a lot of other government people we work with. So shout out to Dane County for being, you know, just being their word. Because when people say we want to work with Black people and we don't do this, they're the only people that actually do it. And they do it very deliberately and intentionally. So shout out to y'all. I love y'all. Y'all are listening to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM with your girl, Brandi Grayson.
And your favorite cousin, Clyde.
Let's transition, though, because we want to talk about love.
Yes.
We usually start off with talking about love, but we got caught
up. We had to recap.
All the amazingness that Urban Triage staff creates and all their magic. I absolutely love our staff. So let's talk about love, though, Clyde. What's been on your heart?
So, you know, we usually start with self-love, and that's what we're going to start today. Okay. So
And that's because it's political for our new listeners. For Black people, love is a political act.
Yeah.
And it's very revolutionary. Go ahead.
So in my past week, since the last time I talked to you folks, I told myself I was going to work more on my inner being.
Yeah.
And I've been constantly doing that. And I tried to, like, veer off. Mm-hmm. But like my inner being and my power was like, nope, stay in alignment, stay meditating. And so I was able to hit the gym a few times this week.
Good job. Congratulations.
Thank you. I was able to, this week we kicked off our open program. Yay. So we're back in season.
Tell us about it.
So if you didn't know, I am the CEO of the House Urban Arts Initiative, which is a Black performing arts center here in Madison, Wisconsin. And we've been on summer break, but we are back. The school year is here. The kids are like in their second or third week of school. So you know how it go. Get them in programming, keep them focused and extracurriculum. So this was our first week of programming and had a boatload of families come and just putting people in their different areas. And this is where you are better fit. This is where you want to go.
Yes.
We offer dance, acting, and literacy programming. And so it was just like amazing. Last year we just had one program. We had to turn a lot of people around because
I hate that.
Everybody doesn't dance. So this year we're like, go to Black Theater Arts Program, go to dance program, or go here. So just keeping myself grounded. I had a little anxiety this week, and I think it just came from us kicking off. But that's all about self-love, right? That's all about the things that we do. When we come back, we're going to touch in and check in with Brandi and see where she is on her self-love journey and with everyone else.
Okay, y'all, you are tuned in to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM, and we will return with more tea and more love with your hostess with the mostest.
And your favorite cousin, Clyde.
See you in a minute. All right. We're back on the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM with your girl, Brandi Grayson, and
your favorite cousin, Clyde.
We are talking about love. We believe Black love is revolutionary, so we talk about it. Mm-hmm. It is political for us, it's revolutionary, and it's super important that we are intentional and deliberate in taking care of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And prior to the break, I was about to call you Brian.
I was talking about my self-love and my journey, and now I'm going to pass it over to my sister. Where are you at with your self-love check?
You know, I have been back in therapy. I have fallen off from therapy for a while, and I noticed the difference, right? Mm-hmm. And I just had to get back. So I had a session last night. My therapy is in the evening, 6 o'clock, by Zoom with my girl Heather Lass. And it's like we do somatic work, you know, going inward, identifying my inner child. Mm-hmm. So my inner child has been very loud. My 10-year-old self, I'm feeling unworthy of love, undeserving of the things that I imagine for myself. Mm-hmm. In my mind, I have developed really clean cut. This is what I need. This is what I want. This is how I'm going to get it. And then my inner child, when she's driving and she's in the driving seat, she doesn't feel worthy. So then when things come to me or around me that align with my deepest desires and the highest, grandest version I have of myself, I sabotage it, or I hold on to things that are keeping me away from the highest version of myself.
Mm.
So I did this whole activity yesterday. It was heart-wrenching. It's part of the shadow work, identifying parts of yourself that keep showing up. Like even in the work with Urban Triage, it's a huge reflection of my heart and my desire to give back and be transformative for people known as Black. And some days I don't feel worthy. Some days I feel like I'm not doing enough. Some days, like when this article with Cap Times, it just, even though white views or opinions shouldn't matter. It still impacts
it still
you
us to a
because
place.
It's like all the work that we do, and we go over and beyond, and then having people complain about things like, "Oh, your office is closed." Of course, we're closed. We've worked 100 hours this week. You know, so the conversation too about self love and self care for me, the organization, and our staff is that we really have to pull back mm-hmm. because we keep giving and giving, and it's like people don't really recognize it, and not that we need to be recognized, but there's no consideration for as much as we do. At the capacity that we do it with limited funding, limited, you know, labor and people time. And no one does what we do.
Right.
No one does what we do at the capacity.
You don't have anyone to follow. Like, you're literally the pioneer of what this looks like.
Historical nonprofit mm-hmm. work, historical Black focused work, historical, and we are amazing at it, okay? And not only are we amazing, we had a couple audits this week. White folks come in and audit us all the time, state, city, federal, single audits, and we passed all of our audits with flying colors. And we had an audit for our HMIS and all of our HUD cases and work that we do and our case management paper and all that. We killed the game. And that's because of our staff and because we are different. So we're the only nonprofit organization that has a quality control department. Mm. And the point of our quality assurance department is to audit our files. So we don't audit us before you audit us. So we're catching mistakes and sending it back to our staff because we understand that to be Black is not to be mediocre or average. You have to be Black excellence and exceptional Negroes in order to survive white systems and institutions.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM. We're just talking about Black love, Black self-care, and that got me back into the work because a lot of my world and life is tied into this work. But, you know, part of the work for me right now is figuring out how I can have and improve, you know, healthy relationships with people that I care about.
Yes. And so I think I just want to give you a word called grace. And so give yourself grace and give your staff grace. And so in the midst of us healing, mm-hmm. We have a clip that we want to show you guys.
Oh, yeah. Listen to this clip real quick.
That is going to tell you how to heal just as a Black community. So just tune in.
Yeah, he talks about how Black men and Black women are in competition. Let's listen to his point of view and let's see what y'all think about it. Go ahead, Sam.
Culture has put us against each other so much. Especially Black men and Black women. We keep fighting over who been traumatized the most. Oh, the Black woman is the most this, and a Black man is the most this. And now we fighting, not realize we both been traumatized. We both been scarred. We both been hurt. We all need therapy. So can we be a safe space for one another? Mm. Can you teach me how to love you? Can you teach me how to be compassionate to you? Can you teach me how to be the man that you need me to be? And I'm gonna teach you how to be. Because what we gotta realize is, I come from one environment, you come from one environment, it's impossible for us to see the world the same way. But if we don't talk about it, how can we ever walk the same way? I come from where I ain't even know about no love. My hard work was love for me. Get up in the morning, do this, do that, that's love. You got a roof over your head, that's love. You got food on it, that's love. So when you operate in that way, you gotta realize you come from a whole different environment than him. So when y'all come from two different environments, the only way y'all gonna meet down the middle is y'all talk about what y'all came from, what hurt y'all, and now y'all can help each other move a little forward.
Yeah.
We gotta exceed our own expectations.
Exceed our own expectations.
Fellas, I want you to finish the rest of the year focusing on your money, but I want you to focus on yourself too. I want you to focus on the hurt that you've been harboring.
Amen.
Mm.
Amen.
So I want to jump in. I want to jump in with that. So he spoke about something that this year mm-hmm. I had to practice. And so when he spoke about healing the Black community, he's right. Like, we pin ourselves up against each other, right?
Yes, we do.
And I think that we're even guilty of that. Like, we're both two Black CEOs mm-hmm. and we're like head first into the game where mm-hmm. we did not have a chance to check in with each other, right?
Yeah.
And what happens is that time sometimes creates this weird competition, right?
Yeah.
It creates this weird, like, oh, they're over there, we're over here.
Yeah.
And in healing, I think us coming together even for this, you inviting me in for this, has created a space for us as a Black man and a Black woman to heal together and work together because we don't see a lot of like Black people of our stature healing and working together. And so I get what he's saying. Like, as a Black community, it's so much easier for us to bump heads versus coming together. And just within this small period of time, we've learned so much about each other and realized like, we're
more similar.
Yes, and we are different.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that whole communication thing that he said about how important it is for us to talk and to communicate is super, super, super important. Again,
yes.
You guys are listening to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM with your girl, Brandi Grayson, and
your favorite cousin, Clyde.
Talking about love. And we just finished listening to the clip. And he said that one of the things we have to recognize is that we're coming from different environments.
Yes.
And that we don't need to compete about whose oppression or trauma is worse. We have to hold space for each other.
Yeah.
One thing that he said that I've heard my partner say is, look, I don't know how to love. I don't have a reference point. I grew up in a world where it was gang infested and poverty and it was survival of the fittest. So that created some trauma, and that created a way of seeing the world, maneuvering around the world, and how and created a way of dealing with women.
Yeah.
Right? You know, you don't deal with women from a place of love. You did like the dude said, you deal with them, I'm providing, you know, I'm gonna take care of you. I'm gonna buy you a bag.
I put food on the table, and that's love. I take you on vacation.
That's love. But to, in our relationship, being with me is forcing him. And whether it works or not, we don't know, right?
Yeah.
You know, but this is where we're at right now. It's like I'm saying to him, because I've done some healing and I got a lot more to do, amen.
Yeah.
That this is what I need. I need to feel safe. I need to, and not safe because you pay a bill, but I need to feel safe that I could come and be vulnerable with you.
Right.
And you not get upset because I need something different than what you have understood love to be. Love for me is not just providing, is patience. It's it's showing up for me when I'm erratic, right?
Yeah.
It's showing up for me in the morning when my head is floating and I have all this stuff happening at work, and you put your hand on my shoulder and say, babe, I got you. Let me make you some tea. I'll iron the clothes. Don't worry about Messiah. I'll handle him. You go take a minute. That's a safe space for me. When someone can say, let me take the kids and give them a ride, that's a safe space for me. So we have to be able to communicate what we need in our relationships and what that love is. And too many Black women, like you said last week and before, you've said Black women have been forced to be the doers, and which creates this masculine energy. So we also have to figure out how to practice softening up, but the softness come when we have more experiences with having safe spaces. Right, so that's another thing that I'm struggling with too, because we talked about this last week. Men don't know, right? Because you said, like, they don't know, and I ain't got time to train them. But the thing of the matter is, if we're going to be together in the world that ensures that we are always pent against each other, we actually do have to hold space. But the question is, how much? And how much do you hold based on what your own capacity is, and how much that other person is rising to the occasion?
Yeah, because I don't think we're showing up to dates and relationships and new relationships. Like, listen, our first part of this journey is healing together as well as we're healing ourselves.
And it is messy.
Yeah.
And it is ugly.
We go into these places, we see somebody smelling good or something like that, and we're like, oh, he got it together or she got it together. And it's like, no, baby, once you get a weekend or you stay with each other for a week, it's like, wait a
minute.
It's
messy. We got tears on our face, eyeliner going down.
Yeah, you didn't tell me this part about you.
What? Sometimes you might slap a mug, you know, but we talked about domestic violence, so we're not going to support that.
We're not supporting that at all.
At all. And I also think that's something that we, even when learning how to love, we have to learn how to master our emotions.
Yes.
Because surviving poverty means that you're surviving violence.
Yeah.
And one of the ways that someone who's grew up in poverty and grew up in Chicago, like you, there's certain things you just don't do.
Yeah.
There's certain lanes out of respect in order to move in our community. You don't allow people to do certain things, and that automatically initiates violence.
Yeah.
And a lot of times in our healing journey, we have to learn how to get outside of that mentality, because we also don't talk about that, because that was a survival and adaptive way of being. And if you wasn't like that, you got bullied and punked.
Yeah.
So there's all these different components that we survive in our environment as a result of white supremacy and systemic racism that put us in these environments.
Yeah. So that inner child, because I heard you also say that in your self-love recap, is that inner child shows up.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that inner child doesn't just look like, I'm not worthy enough.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like violence, because that's all we know, right? And,
and
I'm not saying like we're a violent people, but when you're in communities where it's like walking to the bus stop, I have to be on alert, right? And I'm just supposed to be going to school, right? We talk about about.
You gotta learn how to see things out your peripheral.
Yeah.
Notice body language, see people fidgeting, knowing like you gotta go left or right, and scanning your spaces before things even happen, right?
Yeah, because that carries with us as an adult, right? Yep. Like we go into stores nowadays, people don't understand like just being black and how folks look at you, especially white folks, and you're in the space and you're like, I have to move a certain type of way, but I'm unapologetic, but I still have to move a certain type of way because how they look at me.
Yep.
And that's that inner child waking up again, like you're not worthy enough to be in this space. Yep.
And that is real good. You're listening to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM with your girl, Brandi Grayson.
And your favorite cousin, Clyde.
That was really good, Clyde, because that is true. And once we get in the habit of letting our adult self drive the car, then that happens less. It happens less than prior. So I've been in spaces and places in my life and time where my adult self has been in the driving seat.
Deserved.
And sometimes you go backwards because the healing journey isn't like this light switch. You take 10 steps forward and you might bounce back 5.
Yeah.
And I found through my therapy session yesterday that I bounced back a few steps. And now I'm going to bounce back forward because I've been there before. Mm-hmm. So it takes less time getting back to where you've been, right? Because I already have a reference point. And I'm excited for where my next level of healing will take me and my accomplishments. Because when you're in the healing business and you are very intentional and deliberate on growing yourself, and this is what I teach my staff, the world opens up to you.
Yes.
Your life opens up to you.
Yes.
The possibilities open up. Urban Triage is based on trauma recovery and healing because I know it works.
Yes.
And that's how it was birthed. It was birthed out of my own personal journey of healing, and we ain't done.
So would you say a part of healing should start you going back to the most common or understanding place of yourself as a child?
I don't know.
Because it can get darker.
I think that it depends on the person and what works, because there's so many ways to do therapy. I do somatic, which is really integrated family systems. So I literally talk to parts of myself.
Okay.
And some people may not be ready for that kind of therapy. So they might be better in psychotherapy, where they're doing talk therapy or tap therapy. There's so many different ways to do this work, but you really have to find out and investigate what works best for you, because there's not a one-stop shop for this healing journey at all.
It's levels to this.
It is. I mean, like, I have my staff standing in the mirror naked talking to their children, their inner self. And that has been some of the shadow work we do. And some people have jetted out the door and say, I'm not messing with Urban Triage. This is too much. And I get it.
Because they're not ready.
They're not ready.
Yeah.
And I get it. You're listening to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM with your girl, Brandi Grayson.
And your favorite cousin, Clyde.
Yeah, we are talking about love and revolutionary stuff, but we will return. Let's talk about that black love that we saw at the debate. Okay, Kamala killed him. Killing me softly with his words. That's what Kamala did to that fool on the debate on Tuesday.
We're going to talk more about that.
It was so funny. So stay tuned, y'all. We'll be back in the gist on 92.7 FM. All right, y'all. You know, our last segment is always like the slow down segment.
Okay, calm it all
down. With
the
music on 92.7 FM, the Black Conversion Show with Brandi Grayson.
And your favorite cousin, Clyde.
But we never really quite slow down, but... We're working on it. So before we get into the debate with our girl, Kamala, and your boy, Red Face, let's talk about... Orange Face, Green Face. Let's talk about real quick some community events that are coming up. We have a Dane County Executive Forum on September 19th at UW Partnership with Melissa R. Agard and Dana Pelaban, hosted by Urban Triage, Freedom Inc., Family for Justice, and WP. I always forget the other acronyms of the other organization, but it's multiple folks hosting this forum. So come out, check it out, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. UW Partnership Space, Madison, Wisconsin, off of Park Street. Mm-hmm. Also, Brandi Grayson, who's me, will be giving, was nominated for an award through Community Shares Community Impact Award. Thank you. That's also happening on the 19th. Buy a ticket, come and cheer for me. Because I don't have a crowd, and I don't have money to buy y'all tickets to give to y'all. But if y'all come, Lise, hoo-hoo, and Urban Triage nominated me. So
okay. How does it feel to be nominated?
I appreciate my staff nominating me. You know what I mean? So good looking.
How does the inner you feel? How does that feel?
The inner me, my mic is off.
I can hear you.
You can hear me?
I can hear you.
I couldn't hear myself. Maybe it was the headphones. Okay,
that's
so
the enemy. How does the inner enemy you feel?
Forget you, enemy. The inner me is proud of me. And some parts of me is like, whatever, it's just an award. Mm-hmm. I don't do good with accolades. And people think, my kids always say I need to do better with that. But it just feels kind of like, yeah, whatever, on to the next thing.
Yeah.
But I do want to practice acknowledging, you know, awards and other people acknowledging the work and the impact that we have. So big ups to my staff for nominating.
That you have.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, my mirror.
You're welcome.
Okay. Is there any events coming up for you?
No, this is a busy week. I know the only thing that was on my radar is that someone will be performing at the Badger game this weekend.
Oh, I heard that.
So we have.
Is it a secret?
No. Is it
Offset?
Offset, yes.
Is at the Badger game.
Yes, he will be opening up the Alabama
Jeff Mack,
and Badgers
my
game.
My Park Bank buddy, I will be contacting you, see if I can get a seat in the box.
And I'm her friend, so I would love to be there, Jeff. Love you, Jeffrey.
Love you, Jeffrey.
But let's get right on
yeah,
in.
Yeah, so I got one more announcement. Urban Triage has partnered with a MMSD school. We did post the flyer, then MMSD asked us to take it down because they didn't approve it yet.
Okay.
It's really weird working with Madison School District. There's a
anybody
lot of... No, yeah, it's really weird with them. So anyway, also, we'll be providing homecoming. We're doing a homecoming black to school give back.
I saw that.
They might try to make us take black out of there because they also are weird when we specify black people. So we'll keep our flyer that says black. And if they need something different, we'll add something different for them. But anyway, in this black to school give back, we have selected 30 students from a specific high school who are vulnerable. And we would like to give them haircuts, hairdos, buy their dresses,
get
their shoes, and get their
homecoming
tickets for homecoming, youth that wouldn't normally be able to afford it. Shout out to Vernay Nicole, who's donating stylists and braiders. Shout out to Smiley Coast braiders, who are also donating braiders. Shout out to Inspire Barber and Inspire Barber College, who's donating barbers and their space. So we really do appreciate y'all. So check out Donate, right? Because we need to be able to give them tips.
Yeah.
We should tip our barbers and stylists. Mm-hmm. We also need money to buy dresses and shoes. So go to urbantriage.org. Specify in the donation back to homecoming give back. Okay. So support us, follow us on Facebook, follow our newsletter, sign up for our newsletter, see all the great work that we're doing in the community at Urban URBAN Triage TRIAGE.org. Okay, now let's get back to the debate.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So Kamala and Trump was at it again.
She and roasted him. Roasted the crap out of him.
She served him.
He served him up real nice. Let's listen to this 30-second clip of Kamala serving him about his rallies. Come on, let's go. Let's go. Let's
do something really unusual, and I'm going to invite you to attend one of Donald Trump's rallies because it's a really interesting thing to watch. You will see during the course of his rallies, he talks about fictional characters like Hannibal Lecter. He will talk about windmills cause cancer. And what you will also notice is that people start leaving his rallies early out of exhaustion and boredom. And I will tell you, the one thing you will not hear him talk about is you. Yeah. You will not hear him talk
Look
about your needs, your dreams, and your desires. And I'll tell you, I believe you deserve a president who actually puts you first. And I pledge to you that I will.
Come on, Kamala. Mm. Just like a black girl.
You know, he was looking like, she's telling the truth.
She's telling
I didn't
the
notice
truth.
About my damn self.
Not when she said people be leaving his rallies, and not that she said
they
hey,
have been.
Do
I've
me a favor
it.
And go.
Mm-hmm.
Go and check them out.
Yeah. So I think that this just further explains a leader that is all for himself.
Yeah.
Right. Like when you get somewhere and all they could do is talk about themselves and not focus on you and the needs of what you and your community needs, it just speaks volumes about who he's in it for.
Yeah, and it's he's a textbook narcissist.
Yeah.
He is. He's like the personality that you would study in psychology.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you would pick apart and your professor would say, take a look and identify these attributes and characteristics in him and his conversations.
And he's so far behind not knowing that we could even do that on Google.
Yeah.
So now we could see you for who you are and you got to come with a different approach.
But you know, the biggest question is not Trump, but the people that supports him. Especially black people and specifically black men.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm in La La Land, Clyde. These black men are on Facebook and in public arguing about how important
fighting.
It is to elect Trump. I said, this is why we black women have a hard time.
But you know what?
What?
Those folks are the people that normally date outside of their race.
No, I'm some of them date black women too. The Kangs and Queens. They be like, that's my Kang. Israelites and the hoop tops. Are they called hoop tops or high tops or hip tips?
I don't know what the hell they call, but they out of pocket. You hear me? But no, but so go back to the people that support him that are black. I think that they just need to do more research.
I don't think they care. We have Project 2025 that's out there. You can read it. We're talking about it, and they still come. There's, and one people will say, well, I don't know. I have to do my own investigation. It is a fact.
Yeah.
It is a fact. These things are facts. It's a fact that he locked up five black boys and brown boys. What year was that?
In New York.
Yeah.
Back in like 1980.
And did a whole campaign to lock them up, and they were innocent. It is a fact that this white man said that we're going to give more power back to police because they need it. Mm. It's also a fact that he endangered hundreds of police when they stormed the Capitol, and police died that day.
He endangered
because
us
of Trump
as a country.
Yeah,
like, when you,
those are facts.
That's embarrassing.
There's not like, you know, speculations or theories. These are actual facts.
Things that he's
and we
done.
Want and they say, well, Kamala, what has she done? She ain't done that.
She's just been the vice president. There's not much you can do in that role.
She's
right?
in a criminal justice, but she ain't did that at that. I just don't understand. But okay, we're running out of time like we often do on the Black Conversion Show. So Civic Media, WMDX, y'all gonna have to give us a little bit more time. Our people like to hear us, okay? So tune in next week to 92.7 FM, the Black Conversion Show with your girl, Brandi Grayson.
And your favorite cousin, Clyde.
We'll see you next week with more tea and our Black opinions.
Peace.
And love.